of shopping online.
That's just almost become the norm anymore for a lot of things. And we've kind of gotten used to two-day shipping, or in some instances, same-day shipping. We also get irritated when an email takes too long to arrive. Have you done that? Got irritated. That email is taking forever. Where is that email? We just don't like waiting. But as Christians, sometimes we get frustrated when God doesn't answer our prayers according to our timeline. You know, sometimes when we pray, we kind of have a built-in timeline saying, you know, this needs to be answered by such and such a time. And we think God has forgotten us when we go to Him and we have sincere requests, we have sincere prayers, and we don't hear anything. No answer, no response whatsoever, at least not right away. So what do we do? Well, like everything, there's an answer in the Bible. And the best answer I've ever found is in a very short psalm of David. And it's Psalm 13. Only has 6 verses. And you might think, well, that means it's going to be a short sermon. Well, you would be wrong. Psalm 13, it is a marvelous psalm. And that's when you feel a little frustrated and maybe thinking God has forgotten you about your prayer, your request, read Psalm 13. And the first thing here that David asks is, how long? So these first two verses tells us what happens when God delays. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? See, this text describes how David feels when God delays. Now remember, David was anointed the future king of Israel, but then spent years in the wilderness trying to outmaneuver Saul and his armies. Maybe that was the time period in which this psalm was written. And if we have that as kind of a historical example, it means even more to us. 4 times in these 2 verses, he cries out, how long? How long will God forgive? How long will he hide his face? How long will his enemies triumph? See, his sufferings have been going on, at least in his mind, for a long time. So he wants to know, you know, how much longer is this going to go on? How long? I think in a sense he feels abandoned. He feels that God isn't there. He's kind of got a sense of loss. We go back to the 10th Psalm. And verse 1 kind of says something very similar. Psalms 10 verse 1. There the writer says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? See, that writer was kind of saying the same thing. Why are you so far off? At least that's the way the writer is feeling. And maybe you felt that exact same way, that you were just, you seemed like you've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for God to answer that prayer. Maybe you've prayed it countless times. And he still hasn't answered in the way you think he should. And maybe you're ready to give up on God. But know that God never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 49, Isaiah says this in verses 15 and 16. I'm sure you've heard these verses before, but they're great verses to remember or read when you think that God has forgotten you, that he's given up on you, your request. Psalm 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Isn't that a wonderful way to picture God? Even though he doesn't have physical hands, but he is so aware of your prayers and so aware of what's going on in your life that it's like he has your name inscribed on the palms of his hands. So that your request and your concerns, your worries are ever before him. It's a wonderful verse. But David says, it just seems so far away. It almost feels like God has stopped blessing him. See, how long will you hide your face from me? And how long shall I take counsel in my soul? I have sorrow every day in my heart. God just seems so far away. David feels like he's been forsaken by God. That God's protection and safety has been taken away. Kind of feels like he's been rejected. Even though he hasn't been rejected. In Psalms 88, we have another example of this very same thing. Psalms 88, and this time we're going to start in verse 14. Psalm 88 and verse 14. Psalms 88, verse 14. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I've been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors, I'm distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. See how forsaken the writer feels there? He feels like everybody has forsaken him, including God. He's been forgotten. You know, Jesus, you know, said in Psalm 22, it's a messianic psalm that Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, Jesus died on the cross and felt forsaken so that you and I would never have to feel forsaken. You know, the child of God should never feel forsaken because of what Jesus did on the cross. Well, David in our psalm, he feels frustrated. He feels that God is not listening. He's wrestling with his emotions. Sorrow, despair. He's fighting negative thoughts. And most people sometime in their lives fight negative thoughts. And David here feels like he's maybe done something, and he doesn't know what, where he's fallen out of favor with God. You know, he had to, even though he had been anointed king of Israel, you know, he had to go in the wilderness and he was chased by Saul and his armies continually for what seemed to him forever. He felt forsaken. And every day David is feeling the burden of his sorrows. He says that the sorrows are in my heart every day. It's not just something he feels occasionally, but right now, he says he feels like it, every day he's feeling sorrow and despair. He feels like he's been forsaken. And he feels like his enemies are winning. And you can understand that. He was anointed king, but now he's in the wilderness, continually running away from Saul and all of Saul's soldiers. No wonder it feels like his enemies are winning. And you know, even today, when someone's down, there's always people around to kick someone when they're down. Some people just seem to really enjoy doing that. When you're down or someone else is down, that seems to be their job. Well, let's go ahead and kick them while they're down. Many of our enemies today, though, are from the spiritual world. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 6 about Satan is he's the prince of this world, but then he has helpers in the spirit world. Well, David asked how long? Well, now, let's see what happens when a man prays, verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So what does he do? He turns to God in prayer. More prayer. See, the first thing to do is always to pray. You know, never say, well, the least I can do is pray. No, that's the most you can do is pray. That's the most important. That's the most powerful thing to do is pray. Always do it first. So David here asked God to do what? To turn his face on him. You know, that is a way of showing that you're in approval. So David says, shine your face upon me. That's what I want. David wants God to see what's happening. Now, no doubt David knew God knew what was happening. But he says, God, look at what's going on. Look at my life. I'm supposed to be the king of Israel, and here I am in the wilderness, you know, hiding in caves or whatever. My life's in danger every day. Consider me. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Call out to God. See, what we need to do is exactly what 1 John 5:14 says. Ask God to answer your prayer according to His will. According to His will. Ask Him to answer your prayer. So David says, please enlighten my eyes. That's a great expression. And it can mean a lot of things, all very positive. Enlighten my eyes. Put the light back in my eyes. You know, sometimes we use an expression when people are down and they're discouraged that, you know, the light's gone out of their eyes. David says here, put the light back in my eyes. Enlighten me. Make me alive again. See, David feels like he's at the point of death. Make me alive again. See, he wants that close fellowship with the Lord. David does not want his enemies to think they can overcome a servant of the Lord. Notice what David says. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against them. You see, especially during Old Testament times when two nations or armies would go against one another, whichever one won, they would say, well, it was because of our gods were more powerful than your gods. Well, David is saying, don't let my enemies say they prevailed against me. Or those who trouble me, don't let them rejoice when I move. Don't let that happen. David says, let the righteous be victorious over the wicked. A few pages over in your Bible, when you turn to Psalm 27. This is another one of David's Psalms. The first three verses are really encouraging. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Because David knows prayer is power. So David called out to God. So we've seen when God delays, verse 1 and 2, when we've seen when a man prays in verses 3 and 4, and then in 5 and 6, when a heart rejoices. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He's dealt bountifully with me. Notice the progression. He's gone from tears to triumph. So what does he say? I trust in your mercy. See, God's mercy was rooted in the covenant God had made with Israel. And of course, David was a big part of that. And so David knew that he could trust in what God had said. And of course, we can too. David possesses hope now. Why? Because of God's unfailing love. Some marvelous verses are written in Lamentations. Remember, Lamentations is about what Jeremiah wrote
after the fall of
Jerusalem. You know, the Babylonian armies under Nebuchadnezzar came in and wiped out the city. And Lamentations says this. We're going to read beginning in chapter 3, and we'll begin
reading in verse 22.
Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, His love, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. God is not going to let you down when you fully trust Him. So David says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. See, the Lord has not forgotten David. Because even though life may seem bleak, he knows his salvation is secure. He knows God is going to look over him, look after him, be with him, shine his face upon him. He knows that. His salvation is secure. And the Bible says, nobody can take away my salvation. I can give it up. I can turn away from God, but nobody can take it away from me. You know, in Romans chapter 8, the last few verses of that chapter, that's what Paul talks about. How nothing in this world can take away my salvation. Except me. I'm the only one that can give up my salvation. Now that's encouraging. The devil cannot take away my salvation. He doesn't have the power. All the powers in the world, all the rulers in the world can't take away my salvation. They don't have the power. And he sings of God's goodness. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Remember what God had done for him in the past. We need to do the same thing. Remember all those prayers that we've gone to God about that He's answered. Remember how well God has dealt with you. And what does this do? It boosts our confidence that He can still, you know, take care of our needs. We have to admit that God has treated us far better than we deserve. He has. He has treated us far better than we deserve. The book of Romans tells us that He sent His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. So yes, God has treated us far better than we could ever deserve. So even though it may feel at times that God has forgotten you, He hasn't. If you've prayed to Him concerning some matter, know for a certainty He will answer. And He's going to answer in the very best way possible for you. It may be totally different than something that you're asking for. But whatever He answers is the very best answer. The very best answer. Whatever is best for you. Why? Because He loved you very much. When you don't feel God's near, when you feel God maybe has forgotten you, what should you do? Not that. And I think this last point is very critical. You know, those times when you really feel God is far away, when He's not answering prayers on your timeline, you feel like He's forgotten you, what should you do? Any activities that bring you in contact with His word and His people, those are going to be the most important and the most beneficial. A lot of times we do just the opposite. We turn away from those things. But during those times when we really feel far from God, what do we need? We need His word and His people. That's what we need. We don't need to turn away. We need to turn toward. That's what God did for us. He turned toward us by sending His Son to die for us while we were still sinners. That's how much He loved us. That's what John 3:16 is all about. This is how much God loved us. He was willing to send His Son to die for us on the cross. We didn't deserve it, but God did it anyway because He loved us that much. And we should love Him in return. So this morning, we have a time to consider our relationship with God while we're singing this invitation song. And if you need to respond to that gospel message, don't wait. But come as we stand and sing.